there, and welcome to episode 32 of the Knitting Pretty podcast. It is January 15th, 2015. Hi, my name is Em. You can find me on the internet as KnitFastDieCozy. You can find show notes for the podcast at emmaknits.net and Facebook page, facebook.com/emmaknits, Ravelry group, search Knitting Pretty podcast. I think that's all the things, the usual spiel. That's where you can find me. You should come find me because, I don't know, it strokes my ego or something. Anyway, let's be friends on Ravelry and other. Okay? Okay. So anyway, welcome. Hi. I'm glad that you're here. Thank you for listening to me, and thank you so much to those of you who are returning listeners who keep on coming back. It makes me very happy. I also wanted to say thank you for any reviews or star ratings you guys have left on iTunes or for sharing the podcast with your friends. It means the world to me, and it really gets it out there, which is awesome for all of us. So, exciting news, mostly for me. The Ravelry group hit 150 members just recently, and my Instagram hit 500, which is so humbling and flattering that that many people of you guys care to, you know, hear what I have to say or see what I have to post, because, you know, I'm just me, and anyway, it's awesome. Thank you so much for following along, and I hope to bring you many hours of free entertainment. I just wanted to make a note for you guys who were entered in the Craftworthy Craft Along prize draw. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, and you're listening to this episode, and you might have won a prize, you should go back and check, because one of the prize recipients hasn't got back to me yet. Get back to me! You want this prize! Ocean Park Yarns, spots, beautiful neon rainbow. You must go back and listen to the end of the last episode to find out if you won. Okay? Okay. So, on to the regular podcast. In my past, I have nothing, because I have been too busy with other things to finish my crafting projects. I channeled my energies into cleaning my bathtub instead. Which, I gotta say, you know you need to clean your bathrooms more often when your child looks at the bathtub and says, it's white? And I mean, my tub was not that disgusting. It's just, it's old and it's got some issues with water ingress from inside the wall, or I suppose adding water to the wall and then mold coming back. Not really my fault, but anyway, I'd kind of let it slide over December. Also, when she runs from the downstairs bathroom after looking in the toilet to the upstairs bathroom and says, wow, really good job, Mommy, you should do this more often. So, I have been suitably shamed and will be cleaning my bathrooms on the weekly chore schedule that I had set for myself and then had been ignoring. Because, ew, and also 5-year-old shaming. Well, 4, but practically 5. My kid is going to be 5 in 10 days. I have no words. It feels like I've had her forever, so she should be more than 5, but it also feels like she couldn't possibly be 5 because she was also just a baby. Oh, I'm having feels. I don't really know what the feels are, but I'm having them. Like, big time. I wanted to give you an update, though, on something I had finished last week, which is my hand-spun Electric Limes socks. They're made of Perendale wool, and I wore them yesterday and took the dog on a 50-minute quick walk that involves sweaty feet, and then I wore them again today, and shut up, sometimes I do that. Actually, I do that all the time. Wear my socks 2 days in a row. Only knitted socks. Whatever. Hush. Anyway, I wore them again today, and again, long walk, and they have not felted a single stitch. Not at all. They're halo-y, lots of sort of fuzzing, but no felting, very little pilling, and that is awesome, because they don't have any superwash. It's just Perendale wool. It looks to me like a semi-long wool. I haven't read the profile of it recently, and if I were to, it would be the Fleece and Fiber source book that I'd be checking out. Anyway, it hasn't It hasn't really pilled. It hasn't felted. It's just a little bit halo-y, and it's holding up really, really, really well. So if you happen to have some Perendale in the stash, or you're interested in buying some, or you're just into trying new breeds, or you keep a list of fibers for socks, all of these things are true for me. I don't know about the rest of you. Perendale, good wool for socks. Who knew? So on to my present. What am I working on? I'm working on the Professor Higgins socks by Keoa Coffee, or something pronunciation related to that. It's a free pattern. They're a very, very cabled sock with, the cables are symmetrical to each other, but the cable inside itself is not symmetrical. It's a really cool pattern, and I like it a lot. I'm doing those for the Sock Knitters Anonymous Sock Down Challenge, which is a monthly sock knitting challenge that encourages people to knit socks that are a little outside of their comfort zone, or just to continue using patterns for socks rather than just knitting plain vanilla socks. And as one of my goals for this year was to slow down with the plain vanilla socks and get back to knitting pattern socks, because I love my pattern socks, that is what I'm doing. I love Sock Down. It's a really fun challenge. It's got clear rules. It's a great knit along in a really well moderated group with, you know, lots of people who are keen to encourage each other and knit awesome socks. So if you are into the whole sock thing, I strongly suggest checking that group out. And you don't have to do the Sock Down challenges to, like, you can knit vanilla socks in that group and still enjoy the really positive sock loving community. But the Sock Down challenge is for exciting pattern socks. I am still working on Hugo by Veronica Avery for my husband out of Brooklyn Tweed Shelter. I feel like I'm going to be telling you this forever. It's not going very quickly. I finished the front. I finished the back. I am now 5 inches up a sleeve. And, you know, it's going along. I just would like it to be going along faster. However, it's not going to go along faster if I do what I did last Friday and knit a whole bunch of that sleeve only to realize that I'd done normal ribbing on the cuff when in fact it was supposed to be twisted ribbing, and I'd done a different cast on than I had done for the rest of the sweater, and I know my husband wouldn't notice at all, but it'll drive me nuts, so I had to rip it all out and start again. Paying attention and reading the pattern is really the best way to get the product the pattern advertises, surprisingly enough. I have also started a new spinning project. I am working on some oatmeal BFL and Tussa silk from Wool Gatherings. The oatmeal BFL is naturally, sort of surprisingly enough, an oatmeal color, and Tussa silk is naturally slightly golden. And so the whole thing has a warm undertone, and then it's been dyed in the most spectacular colors. And it's 70% oatmeal BFL, 30% silk, which is a really nice blend, I think. The silk is sort of banded through it rather than mixed in, like, homogeneously, which makes for a more... I hesitate to say interesting, but a yarn with a little bit more unpredictability. Because sometimes you're spinning mostly wool, sometimes you're spinning mostly silk, but a lot of times you're spinning a really happy blend between the two. The colorway, I have 4 braids, and 2 are in one colorway, and the other 2 are in another. Wool Gatherings doesn't do colorway names or repeatable colorways, so it's no point trying to tell you that, but the 2 that I'm working on right now are sort of a golden, slightly greenish brown yellow and orange and purple and red and black. But, like, that sounds a little obnoxious, but it's absolutely scrumptious. It's unbelievably beautiful. It looks like fall leaves and magical tapestries. I don't know. It's beautiful. And then the other colorway is more in the range of the purples and with a little bit of pinks and dark purple, almost black, and a little bit of sort of orangey colors. So it's got less of the golden color and less of the black, but a lot more pink and purple. And my goal with this 16-ounce lot is to spin each braid into a single and then ply one of each colorway together. So one will be the more yellow one, and one ply will be the more yellow one, and one ply will be the more pink one, and then I'll have two giant skeins of blendy, pretty warm colored yarn. And the goal would be a sweater lot, but I don't know if that'll turn out. It's spinning up pretty densely, as things with BFL and silk can do, especially because I'm spinning it worsted, which is the more dense of the two methods. I am, however, doing it sort of a halfway between fingering and lace weight. It's a heavy lace weight, light fingering weight, and I think when I wash it, it'll plump up to a proper light to regular fingering weight. And so I might get a sweater lot. I mean, you can make a sweater, even in my size, out of four skeins of fingering weight, provided it's more of a, like, short-sleeved or something sweater. You know, you have to cut parts out of the sweater. It can't be a cabled, long-sleeved, tunic-length thing. No way, not at all. Anyway, we'll see what we get. I don't really care at this point. I just want to make this beautiful fiber into yarn, and then I will take whatever that yardage is and turn it into something gorgeous and warm that I can wrap around myself. The Wool Gathering's dye work and prep is spectacular, so if you have been considering a purchase from her, I can't say anything but good things about it so far. To be fair, BFL and silk both are a little less inclined to felt or compact than something like merino, but this fiber has been sitting in my stash for a year now. It's been kind of smushed, and it's just spinning as smoothly as if it had been prepared yesterday. There's no felting, no compacting, no nothing. It's gorgeous. So, yay. I'm having such a good time spinning it, and it's so, so pretty. In my future, I was having a look through my Ravelry pattern highlights, which you can find on the patterns page of your Ravelry account. There will be a list of things that their algorithm has picked for you, patterns that have come out recently. And it looks at, you know, what you've knit, what you've favorited, what you've queued. You can mess with the parameters so that it finds things more like what you actually want to knit. It's really cool. Anyway, I was looking in there, and a pattern that came out today is called Tendress, and it's by Mamselle Flo. I'm assuming that's a nom de plume. Anyway, it's a shawl, and it's a triangular shawl, but I really, really like it, because like many triangular shawls, it has a simple center base and then a lace edging, but this one is neat because the center base area is a sort of lacy textured stitch all over, and from a distance it has kind of the impression of a waffle knit pattern almost, but then up close it's more interesting than that. It's kind of lacy, it's kind of like a little star pattern, and the overall effect is so cool, and it looks really, really warm. And because it is cold here, because it is cold in this room, I'm very drawn to worn things right now. And yeah, it looks cozy, it looks really, really neat, it looks fun to knit. And so I really like it, and I'd like to knit it. It's available in both French and English, in case that is important for you. And yeah, I think you should go check it out. It's very pretty, and you know, making a triangular shawl is not reinventing the wheel, but I haven't seen this sort of simple textured pattern all over with the lace edging in a while, and it just really struck me as pretty. Another thing in my future, I have been talking to an old friend of mine who I haven't seen in ages, and today it was wonderful. We went out for coffee and got caught up with each other a bit, but she has taken up weaving in a big way, like a big way. And has been posting her pictures of her weaving, and I'm just, like, feeling super inspired to get my loom back out because of how gorgeous her stuff is. And she posted a picture on Instagram a while ago of a warp that was getting ready in Noro, and now I wish to weave with Noro. And I've woven with Noro before, but in the weft direction. I used, for my very first thing I wove, I used some Noro Yuzen, which is unfortunately discontinued. It was a sort of decay to worsted weight. And just because I knew it would give an interesting effect that would hide some of the imperfections of my first weaving project. And I have this skein of Noro Silk Garden Sock, which I might be crazy. No, I think they discontinued Kurion Sock, but I don't know if Silk Garden Sock is still around. It should be if it's not. If it's not around still, shame on you Noro people, because this is so soft and pretty. Anyway, whatever. Silk Garden Sock. And I want to use it as the warp of the yarn, or of the weaving, and make a runner for a sort of sideboard thing that I have in my dining room. Because as much as I, you know, like not having surfaces covered with fabric bits and bobs, because, you know, the cat jumps up on it and then skids off of it and it's all a big disaster, I unfortunately did this piece of furniture a disservice last year when I put it out in my sunroom and then put plants on it, and the plant pots leaked on it and put some pretty bad water rings in the veneer. And shame on me for doing that, but here I am now, and I want to have the thing looking pretty. And so, yeah, I want to weave just a kind of runner to cover the top of that piece of furniture. And the wall in that room is a bright, dark kind of, it's not that dark, but it's a bright Grecian kind of Santorini blue. It's very pretty, and in certain lights it can tend towards turquoise, and in other lights it tends towards royal blue. It's a beautiful color. I can't remember what the paint color is, but it's stunning. I love it. I only have one wall in it because one does not need every wall of one's house to be bright blue. Well, unless one really likes bright blue. But anyway, I never really know what to do with that area because I don't want to bring in too much more color. But I think this Noro will be perfect. It's minty green and other things, and pink and peach. Yeah. I feel like I mentioned this last week. Let me go into my show notes. Let me look. I don't know. It doesn't say I did. But I feel like I did. Well, anyway, sorry. If I'm repeating myself, ignore me. I don't really listen to myself, and so I never really know what I've already said. And also, there's that whole, like, introvert thing where you might understand me. You might think I'm insane and stop listening to the podcast because I'm nuts. But, okay, so if I want to talk to somebody about something, anything, I hate saying things out loud and getting them wrong or making a fool of myself in any sort of social situation, and so I generally go over things in my head first, and then sometimes, because awkward, I will think I've already said it because I've already gone over it in my head in such great revisiting detail, and then I don't end up saying it. And then, yeah. Or sometimes I end up saying it twice, thinking that that's what I did, but in fact I actually talked to them. So tangent aside, weaving with Noro. Yay, going to do it. Yeah. On to the show and tell segment of the podcast. I thought I'd keep it short today. I don't have a whole lot to talk about, again, because I've been... Oops, bumped the table. Because I've been kind of crazy busy. But I linked an article on my Facebook, like my shop, or not shop. I linked an article on the podcast and Emma Knits and Everything Facebook page that is very funny. And it's from The Toast, which is a website of funny things. And it's an article listing things that you can find knitting patterns for. And some of them, or things for which you can find knitting patterns, it's by Kristen Handley Cardozo, and it is most funny. And so I thought I would read you my favorite two entries from this, and if you are bothered by slightly crass humor about male genitalia, now's your time to go get a glass of water or something. So she was writing about all the unusual patterns for things that are kind of useless that you can find in the knitting world. And the first was penis cozies. I've known these more formally as willy warmers. My mother one time called it a Peter heater. So take your pick. I kind of like Peter heater. Anyway, she writes, Ravelry, the largest social network for people who do yarn-related crafts, records 4 patterns for knit penis cozies, 1 crochet pattern for the same, and several lip balm cozies that look like penises. Although the term penis cozy suggests that only the penis is involved, all of the penis cozy patterns include a little sweater for the testicles as well. This last detail suggests a misandrist plot, as overheated testicles cause sperm to die, especially the weaker sperm that results in bepenised babies. Fun fact! Wikipedia's entry for Willy Warmer reports that Clark Gable received a hand-knit cock sock from Carol Lombard while he was filming Gone with the Wind. So that's fun. There is another piece of fantastic, odd, reproduction-related knitting pattern and also biological information in here, and I thought you should hear this too. So the pattern is for a female anglerfish, which to me just looked like an anglerfish. You know, they're the big fish with the deep sea fish, scary big teeth, creepy eyes, big dangly lantern in front of their mouth, and then the other fish comes up to check out the lantern and chomp, no more other fish. So apparently only in some of the species of anglerfish, that's only the females. Let me read this to you. So there's a pattern for a female anglerfish. Anglerfish are already terrifying looking, but even more terrifying is how some anglerfish reproduce. The females, with the dangly, glowing lure hanging out in front, dwarf their parasitic male paramours. It's awfully dark down there where anglerfish live, and it can be hard to meet a potential love interest, which I hear it's kind of like living in Victoria. I don't know. Some of you guys can back me up on that one. So male anglerfish hang about, all small and helpless, also kind of like Victoria, unable to feed themselves or fend off larger creatures. When a giant female fish passes by, the male swims up, bites a hole in her side, and attaches himself, eventually merging with her circulatory system. At this point, most of his body, apart from his testicles, begins atrophying, and eventually he is little more than a pair of balls, hanging out, fertilizing eggs every so often, and living off the nourishment provided by his female host. Why not knit one? Or, if knitting's not your thing, why not use anglerfish as a metaphor in that story you're workshopping? It'll make that guy in your program, you know the one, super uncomfortable. The list also includes a beard for your beer can, which is called beard, like B-E-E-R-D, which is amazing. A beret that you can put on your cat, which has some awesome pictures in the pattern, because angry cat in beret is wonderful. She writes, cats already go around 24/7 with a look on their collective faces that says their toleration of you is temporary, and someday they will make you pay permanently for every transgression. My cat sometimes has that face, yeah. A beret just cements this look in a dignified and stylish way. Your cat's dead-eyed, angry stare, peeking out from beneath a kicky chapeau, will bring as much joy as a dog in a mouse-eared hat, for which there is also a pattern linked. There's a toilet paper fez, and a Cthulhu balaclava, and teacups, knitted teacups. Structurally unsound, the very worst thing to contain hot tea. You'd be better off pouring tea into your hat, and that's not a great idea either. Knit teacups never fail to delight me. So yeah, that article made me laugh, and looking at the patterns made me laugh even more, because I do love a good useless knitting pattern. And I went through my queue and favorites to see what I had saved in the way of, not useless, just perhaps impractical knitting patterns, because you can always knit a sweater or a sock, you know, those are things you need. But why not expand your repertoire into the realm of the completely useless? For example, the dwarven battle bonnet that I knit for my brother-in-law. Is he going to wear that skiing? No. Should he? Clearly, yes. It has a giant beard. So in my queue, I found The Demi Octopus by Jennifer Wang. It is a half of an octopus, but not neither the bottom nor the top half. Instead, a cross-section, sort of thing. It's a flat octopus applique that you can knit and put it on anything. There's a very cool version done on a coffee cup cozy thing. And yeah, I just desperately want to knit this little flat octopus and apply him to things. I don't know what. I don't know if I care. It's just, it's a demi octopus, guys. Another pattern is the newborn guinea pig. It's a crochet amigurumi pattern. It's by Katie Galuth, maybe, something like that. Anyway, she has some other guinea pigs as well, and they're all oddly lifelike and realistic and unbelievably adorable. I went through this phase where I was learning about guinea pig ownership for some reason, and guinea pigs are super cool, and taking care of guinea pigs is a lot more complicated than just plopping them in a cage and letting your child manhandle them. Guinea pigs are awesome. There is the classic deer with little antlers hat by Tiny Owl Knits. It's a toque with ears and antlers, but instead of being like normal antler size, they're teeny weeny and little felted antlers that stand up. And the cool thing about it, of course, is that, you know, a hat is a practical thing, so you can get use out of it, rather like the dwarven battle bonnet. But I think very few people can pull off the hipsterish irony to wear a deer hat with little antlers. There's a pattern for hot air balloons. It's by Dawn Finley, and it's actually absolutely gorgeous. I could see something like that hanging in a little kid's room or like a baby nursery being really cute. But yeah, knitting pattern, hot air balloons. You should look at it because it's really pretty. And then one of my favorites is a pattern or set of patterns by Brooke and Beth called the French Set of Fruit and Vegetable. There's also an Asian vegetables and a Mexican produce and some other things, but they are, like, extremely detailed, incredibly accurate little collections of knitting patterns for vegetables. Because knitted vegetables. That's really all I have to say about that. Knitted vegetables are awesome. Real vegetables are more awesome because you can eat them, whereas knitted vegetables don't have that quality. I hope. I mean, they don't for me. And I think that's getting your daily fiber, taking it to a little bit too high of a level. But anyway, they're so cute. Little vegetables. And if you want to be really twee about it, you can put little eyes and smiles on them and make them little kawaii vegetables, and then they're even more adorable. And now I have this sudden urge to knit tiny vegetables. I should stop. Anyway, so those are my favorite impractical knitting patterns. You should go read the article because it's funny and adorable, and there are links to all sorts of interesting things. It does have some rather salty language, as you can probably guess by all the penis talk. But whatever, we're all adults, and if we're not adults, we will be at some point in our lives. On to my weekly obsessions. The first is NARS Velvet Matte Lip Pencil in the Cruella color. I was at Sephora. I had to buy a makeup brush, which, by the way, tangent. Oh my gosh, it is so nice having a good makeup brush, powder brush. I don't apply makeup every day. I don't think anyone should have to or should ever feel that they have to wear makeup. However, I do like it, and I enjoy it. It's like being able to paint, put on my face, and then wear it out in public and no one thinks I'm weird. So that's cool. I had a really crappy powder brush, just like really truly terrible. That was losing its little bristles all over my face and kind of felt like being stabbed with thousands of tiny needles whenever I used it. Which is to say, I don't really recommend the line of brushes that the Jo Fresh brand puts out, connected with Superstore and Loblaws and everything. Very spiky, very sheddy, not good. So I bought a Sephora brush. Long story short, it's my birthday month. I'm gonna be 30 this month, and I got my birthday sample gift thing that Sephora does while I was there, and they are giving away NARS lip pencils this year, and the Cruella color in the Velvet Matte is like the perfect red for me, and I think it would be for a lot of people. It's fairly neutral. It's a little bit of a cool red, but not, not like deeply so, and it's gorgeous. And I love a red lip. I think red lipstick is awesome. I think being brave enough to wear it in public is something that we should all strive to be. And yeah, It's such a nice, nice red, and the texture of it is great because it's matte without making your lips feel like dry, nasty sandpaper horribleness. And it stays on for quite a while. It doesn't fade to a nasty hot pink very quickly. If you eat a meal or something, it sticks with you. It would need some touch-up, but it sticks with you. It's really gorgeous. So, when it's your birthday, sign up. If you have a Sephora near you, sign up for your thing. Go buy something little and get some free samples of this lip pencil, because OMG. The other color's really nice, too, but it's just not as, spectacularly nice as this red in the matte. My second obsession is the This Girl Can ad campaign. It was put out recently, very recently. It's kind of going viral right now. I'm sure you've seen it on your Facebook feeds and such. It was put out by Sport England, which is a company that funds, and I'm assuming provides other support to sports programs in the UK, to encourage women to be involved in sports and physical activity, because I think it was, the article I read, I'm just trying to recall off the top of my head, in response to the fact that 75% of women in England said that they'd like to be more active, and they looked at why women felt they were held back from being more active, and it was reasons like feeling like they'd be judged for not having the right body or the right skills. And so they came up with this TV spot ad campaign, and it's really good. My only complaint is that women are not girls, and I'm sure there are other ways to say it than to girl. This girl can, this woman can, she can, I can, I don't know. Anywho, whatever. It's a little quibble, and it means very little. But it's so great. It's one of those empowering videos that make you feel good, but I just really appreciate it, because as a larger woman, I have definitely always felt like being in active spaces, whether sports or a gym or whatever, I've always felt judged, even though I know most, realistically, I know that nobody's paying attention because they're all too busy worrying that everyone else is judging them. I mean, really, realistically, nobody's paying attention to you 99% of the time, and the people that aren't worth paying attention back to. But still, that feeling of judgment, and this video shows a whole wide range of bodies and races and ages, and everyone's playing and having fun and working their butts off, and I just really appreciate it. I've lately tried to take up more exercise, and I'm thinking of trying to get into a strength training routine, which is not something I've ever done. And it's daunting, and it's hard to know where to start, but something that's inspirational without saying, and you'll lose weight, or, you know, not the kind of fitspiration that you see on Pinterest that encourages doing a certain number of whatever so that you can have a thigh gap, because that's not what I want. You know, I want to know that I'll feel strong, and that getting all gross and sweaty is completely irrelevant to anybody else's opinion of me and makes you feel awesome. And yeah, I just really appreciate it. And, you know, it's amazing how quickly you can feel more able with just a small amount of exercise. You know, I've been trying to amp up my dog walking, and for me, you know, I can't just, I don't walk the dog on a flat surface. I live on the top of the hill, so any sort of walk involves some steep hill walking. Yeah, Victoria is a hilly city. It's part of living on an island made of mountains. And so, you know, walking involves a lot of hills. If you want to go quickly and get lots of, get more exercise out of it, that it's a sweaty job, particularly when you're me and carrying all of me around. But even after, you know, trying to go faster and farther and more, for a couple weeks, suddenly I'm stronger, and I, you know, accidentally stepped off a curb the other day, and instead of falling over or wobbling or breaking my stride at all, like, my thigh muscles just kind of absorbed it, and I kept going, and it was awesome, because I know that building strength and endurance is something that happens slowly, but it happens if you exercise. And so, yeah, I love the ad spot. I think it's a good thing, and I think that so many public awareness things about sports, women in sports, fat people exercising, heaven forbid, that we be seen doing exercises, that kind of thing. So often it's based in shaming, in making people feel bad that, you know, you should be doing this because, you know, or else you'll die, or else you'll be unattractive, or else. So much of it is negative, and this is a really positive one. So if you're feeling kind of down in the dumps or unsure about maybe going to the gym or going out for a walk or doing some yoga in front of, you know, a video on your computer, check it out. It'll make you feel awesome. And if it doesn't make you feel awesome, I'm sorry. I hope that it will. Anyway. My third obsession works rather in the opposite direction of exercise, is flourless cookies, because I've been trying to eat completely gluten-free, which has been helping a lot. And I've also been trying to cut back dairy a little bit just to see if that takes care of the last of the weird symptoms I've had for 10 years of owning a stomach. Well, I've owned it for longer, actually, but 10 years of weirdness. Whatever. Irrelevant detail. The point is, I had a post-Christmas party thing to go to, and I wanted to bring treats, but I thought, what am I going to bring? I can't bring any of these things. What am I going to make? I can't make a cake. I always make gingerbread and other good things like that, and this time I can't. So I went Pinterest hunting and came up with a couple of recipes for cookies that don't involve flour. Now, they're not healthy. They both involve a whack of sugar, and you know what? Sometimes not healthy is okay. But the cool thing about it, one is a peanut butter cookie recipe that's just made peanut butter and sugar and an egg and baking soda, is that it makes a peanut butter cookie that is almost like a normal peanut butter cookie. Like, there's very little difference. They were a little bit crumblier, but beyond that, they tasted like real peanut butter cookies. A little sweet for my taste. I'll mess with the recipe to get it how I like, but really, really good. The second was a flourless chocolate cookie. It was a mixture of powdered sugar, which you, if you are trying to be gluten-free, have to make sure that the brand you're using is gluten-free. Most powdered sugars have cornstarch in it, but, you know, you never know. Powdered sugar, cocoa, and a little bit of salt, and egg whites, and then chocolate chips, and I added peanuts because peanuts. Why not? Anyway. Amazing. Like, such good cookies. Really, really, really intense chocolate flavor. Like, very dark chocolate, and very lightweight and crisp on the outside, and like halfway between a brownie and something kind of gooier than a brownie on the inside. Just spectacular. Like, so, so good. So if you are needing to cut out flour, or you are trying to cook for someone who needs to cut out flour, maybe check out those recipes. I'll have them in the show notes, because they are spectacular. If you're cutting out sugar, I can't help you at this point. Sorry, they are very sugary, but oh, so good. And it was just really nice to be able to bake. I baked two batches of cookies, one of each kind, because I mean, I only needed enough for a small party, but did I want more cookies? Yes. Also, it just felt really good to be baking again. It's been a month and a half or so of no baking, and I really missed it. And I mean, I can bake for my family, but that, like, with flour, but that kind of potentially leads to a little bit of resentment, I think, and I don't want to encourage that in myself, and so I haven't been. And that is sad. But yeah. Flourless cookies. Who knew that you could even do that? So, I think that is all for the podcast today. Short and sweet. I will see you next week. I hope you have an awesome week full of excellent crafty time and family time and fun time, and happy knitting.